Thank you, Alicia. My, my, my. Aren't you glad he didn't call the angels and come down? You and I'd have no hope today if he did. Amen. Go with me to the little book that's nearest to the book of Revelation, book of Jude. 25 verses. We're going to try to reference most of them this morning. We certainly know this is a familiar book to you, and felt led to try to cover a little bit of it this morning. Stephen mentioned they might have should have been singing When the Storm Passes By. I'm going to preach on the calm before the storm. Amen. And that's what it is. Look out there right now. Hardly a leaf moving. And of course, we old Floridians, we're not so surprised at that. We've been through a few before. And it is true. I remember going through Hurricane Donna. I'm glad they named this one Isaac. I'm tired of those female names. Especially this one will be good if Isaac comes and rains on the protesters over in Tampa. Amen. It might be a little good that'll come out of that. God might just be saying, hey, I didn't get an invitation. I'll show up anyhow. Who knows there? But I remember Hurricane Donna in 1960. I know I don't look that old. But shut up back there. Who is that that keeps saying amen out of place? Anyway, I do remember when the eye passed over, and it did pass over Winter Haven and Haines City. And hey, that was a big one. But I remember when it passed over, Sonia and I had just built our first little teepee and gotten in it. We was mopping water that night as it blew through the windows and the walls and everything else, and the power out and all that. But finally, all of a sudden, it quit. It was on Saturday night, too, because I remember what it was on Sunday morning. But anyway, it quit. And I went outside and realized the eye of the storm was there. And right in the eye of the storm, it was totally calm. Didn't take long before the other side hit. And it was to do it all over again. But the calm before the storm, I kind of feel like sometime today we go to sleep sometime in the calm part before it gets here. And warnings are often unheeded by those that warn. For instance, Pearl Harbor, you study history, there were some warnings about that. They actually made a movie one time. Hollywood made a movie. I think Gary Cooper starred in the movie as a military man that was trying to warn them that this thing was coming, and they didn't heed. And I've read the story of during the Holocaust, when the 6 million Jews and more were destroyed by Hitler, how that when the Nazis began to come and take city and village of Jews and haul them away and kill them, burn them, that there was a Jew that escaped and came back to another little city. And he tried to tell them what had happened, and they would not believe it. And he tried to tell them, they're coming for you, but they would not believe it. And pretty soon the boxcars rolled into town, and they loaded that city up also and carried it away. And they had time to get away, but they wouldn't heed the warning. And I look here in Jude, and because of time, I'm just going to start off with the first three verses. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified. That means set apart by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. I'm sure glad it says preserved. Brother, we got something that's going to last. Amen. Preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He is saying my purpose in writing here about the common salvation. He gets into the next verse, verse 4, and it starts off with the word for, and he's going to begin to list all kind of historical negatives, examples, bad things, evils that have taken place. And he's saying, I'm writing, and the purpose of writing is to warn you that these things that have happened before will happen again. And you need to contend for the faith, the common salvation, the truth. And you and I today can look, as we look back through history, not only see these things recorded in the Bible that Jude is referring to, but to recognize there's a picture there that points, and a parallel there that points to our day and time. And as Jude was given warning, that warning is to us. This book is placed next to the book of Revelation. Revelation is going to be the wrap-up of things. The church age is going to end in chapter 4. And from chapter 4 through chapter 19, the storm is going to be coming, brother. It's going to be hitting upon planet Earth. And then we're going to find out on the other side there's the victory. But in the meantime, you and I are still this side of chapter 4 in Revelation. We're still this side of the big storm that's coming, and we do well to take warning. And I notice, and it's amazing how the Bible is written, I notice as it goes down through about 7 major illustrations, historical examples that Jude gives, I notice that it goes down almost in line with what you and I have been seeing. If we know our Bible, if we understand current events, that we can see these things are fitting. And I'll just jump ahead to say this. The last big event is pictured by Enoch, and Enoch was one of the 2 men in the Bible that got raptured up without dying. In fact, the first translation was Enoch. Amen. He pleased God and he walked with God and God took him for it was not. And I find that everything I'm going to say to you this morning, every one of these historical examples will fit right on down to about the 7th one. And the 7th one will be Enoch. And it's interesting how we're paralleling that all the way. You know what I'm looking for next? What happened to Enoch? The rapture. That's what I'm looking for next. And you say, what are you doing? Well, I feel a little bit like that Jew that escaped and got to the village and told them they're coming after you also. Yeah. I feel a lot like people don't want to hear that. I feel a lot like the messenger that's been rejected. I feel a lot like somebody said, I've been hearing that all my life. Uh-huh, but you got less life left than you did have. Not only that, but the time is later than it's ever been before. And it's more fulfilled than it's ever been fulfilled before. And so I want to go with this just a little bit this morning. I want to see these scenarios of these historical examples and see how they are true and they have been fulfilled. And so the question then, if it's been fulfilled, then how near are we to the end? Can we see them fulfilled in this modern day? Are we just a little bit lulled to sleep today in the calm before the storm? Because it hadn't happened yet. You know, in the old days when we didn't have TV and radar to check everything, the old timers got out and kind of looked at the skies. And some of the old timers did pretty good on predicting the weather. Did you know that? They read the signs. You and I'd be very wise to read the signs today. We've been lulled to sleep with somebody else doing everything for us. We know the storm's been coming for days. We can see the map. We can see the tracking. And we got all that. And yes, we've got time to prepare. By the way, they tell us a lot of folks still don't prepare. And that's true when the storm I'm talking about today coming too. A lot of folks don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be woke up. They don't want it discussed. But let me apply some of these historical examples here to the day that we live in. To begin with, look at it in verse 5 with me. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Jude is saying, I want you to remember something. I'll put you in remembrance. What's the next statement? Though ye once knew this. You know, today as I look around, I see a hypocritical Christianity described in verse 5. Once knew. Any preacher can tell you that times have changed. Any preacher can tell you the culture is different. And we're not just talking about the stupid dress with the pants around their knees. We're not talking about just everybody tattooed from the top to the bottom. We're not talking about some of that stuff. But I'm talking to you about God's people in their apathy, in their laxness, in the fact that nothing anymore upsets them, and they just, to the place, they pretend Christianity, they pretend church, and it's not real to them. They once knew. Oh, I think they're still saved, many of them, and then a lot of them never were saved to start with, but they once knew, but they've lost sight of their goal. And as I look in Revelation chapter 3, that's the prediction. The last of the church age, the Laodicean church, its gospel is the social gospel. It's the civil rights of people. It's no longer the blood-bought gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the age we live in today, we see a hypocritical type church that says, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And God says, the way I look at you, you're poor, wretched, blind, and naked.
Yeah.
Oh, we live in a hypocritical Christianity time today. Let me say to you folks something, and I'm preaching greatly to the choir, so to speak, this morning, but the goal ought to be to be in church, raise your family in church, reach souls of those you love and work with through your church, and God's plan is the church.
Amen.
You ought to want to desire to be a part of it, to be involved in the cause, to raise your family in it by the principles of God's word and the preaching of God's word and the fellowship of God's people. And you ought to want to see souls saved. And the best way you're going to do that is to unite with a Bible-believing church that's got an outreach to tell others. And if you bring them to church, they're going to hear how to be saved. And then you live a personal lifestyle so your life backs up your lip. So folks can look at you and know, hey, it's real to him. He does this, he don't do that. You say, well, I'd be saved without that, uh-huh. But other folks won't know you're saved if you're living like the devil alongside of them. Amen. I'm talking to you about a scenario here. I'm talking to you about a historical thing I see in verse 5. They once knew what was right. They once knew how God saved the people out of the land of Egypt and afterward destroyed them that believed not. Hear me something good now. In the house of God, you can start off with your family. You can try to raise them right, but you drop out and quit, and you're going to reap some scars down the road, some shipwreck, some destruction down the road when you do that. Let me move on because of time to say this. I look at another historical example here. I find it in verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness under the judgment of the great day. I'm seeing in our day and time a fulfillment of what happened in the past. What happened in the past was satanic entities, fallen angels, if you please, left their habitation, left their boundaries, mixed with the children of men, daughters of men. And I'm looking today and seeing more blending with satanic entities than ever before. Do you know today, it's popular to accept witchcraft? Do you know it's on TV? Town meetings have had Wicca or the witches come and show up at the town meeting and have one of them lead in prayer. Check it out, right up there where they used to burn them in Massachusetts, they've done that. Do you understand a lot of your kids are into that junk? I'm talking about not only the cartoons, but I'm talking about girls trying to paint themselves up that way. I'm talking about on TV where they've had channeling spirits, where they've had the Shirley MacLaine set on shows and supposedly talk to the dead. All of this, my friend, has come on big time in the day and time that we live in, and it's of the devil. The trouble is, too many of God's people just wink at it. We ought to stand against that stuff. We ought to contend for the true faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, blending with the satanic, by the way, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than a bunch of stupid women pretending to be witches. I've known some didn't have to pretend, but anyway. There's strong evidence there's a great Luciferian conspiracy in the world, and that's understandable. The devil, he is the god of this world now, and the devil wants to take over the kingdom instead of Christ. We understand that if we know much about the Bible. But there are some high places that believe there is a Luciferian conspiracy, and I don't know how much of it is true, even in the Vatican, and even books written by Catholicism, by Catholics themselves, have a great fear that even in their midst of their organization, that there is a Luciferian conspiracy. They say some popes have been on it, some popes have been against it. And some of the old books, and I read one of them not long ago, some of the old books predict that the last pope will be the bad one. Say, what's the bad one? Well, did you ever read Revelation 13 where the false prophet shows up and points to the Antichrist and says he's the man? That's religion. That's the biggest, most powerful religion basically in the world. And I'm not saying that's going to be, but I'll give you something to watch. And this is first Mickey, second verse now, so just take it with a grain of salt. There's some strong prediction that the Pope, who's about 85 years old, it's good to have somebody older than me, but anyway, he's about that now, I think. They say he may retire or die even within this year, and we better watch out for who takes his place. That's what they're saying. You say, you're a Baptist preacher. I'm just telling you what some Catholics are saying and some books that they have written. You say, that's scary. No, it's not scary. It tells me Jesus is coming. Amen. Coming soon. But I'm looking here and I see one of the historical examples fits right in with what's happening today. And that's the blending in with satanity entities. And you got kids mixed up today as to who God really is. Because this stuff's acceptable in places where Christianity can't get in. It's amazing how that is today. Let me move on for sake of time. Let me also get you to look down in verse 7. Verse 7, all these historical examples Jude's given. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Somebody says, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed them. There may be some evidence of the cities over there. Some argue there is, some argue there isn't. But I know one thing. God said that the land, the very land, cried out before him for judgment. And he brought it on them, and it happened. And this thing of homosexuality, sodomy, today, some of the protesters, get it right in a minute, over there around the convention in Tampa will be this group right here that we're talking about. Just like when Lot went down in their midst, and when the angels showed up, and by the way, the angels didn't show up with wings. They showed up looking as young men, and the homosexuals went after them. And when Lot took them inside, the homosexuals tried to break the door down. Now, some of you let your breath out. You don't know where you got into this morning. You're really wondering right now. Just go ahead and relax. We don't speak politically correct here. We speak biblically correct here. And there's a difference, a big difference between the two. I'm getting a few vibes from just a few of you. Just relax. Come on. The truth of the matter is, this day and time, the homosexual movement don't only want toleration. They want promotion. They want to be promoted. They want to be lifted up. It's not good enough for them for us to just let them alone. They want to make us publicly acknowledge and accept them, and that would be going against the Word of God. Amen. Certainly it would. You see it. They want to promote themselves. How come I can't be a Boy Scout leader? Pervert wanting to be a Boy Scout leader. Why, common sense tells you what he wants to do. Would you put the fox in the hen house? Would you give a pervert that opportunity at the little ones? But that's what they want. And that's been in the courts and everything else. And the trouble is, you got corporations and businesses that are bowing to that junk. We have appointed by the president, by the establishment in Washington, we have a leading homosexual that's now in charge of what is to be taught in the curriculum in public school. And what do they want taught? They want it taught that it's okay to have two daddies, two mamas. They want it taught that it's only an alternate lifestyle. They want it taught that this makes a loving family. Oh no, oh no. But that's where we're at right now. I mean, I look at this historical example that brought the judgment of God, and I realize that's the same thing that I have been seeing happening and growing in our midst today. How many of you ladies ever shopped at JCPenney's? Now don't lie to me. Every one of you ought to have had your head way up. Sure you have. J.C. Penney's store was started off by a great Christian man. The business was built by great Christian principles. But you know who's advertising now for J.C. Penney? Helen DeGeneres, the lesbian. Her name is right, degenerate. Now hear me a little bit. Their business just fell. Say, well, it's recession, uh-huh. But also a bunch of Americans have said, we don't want that lesbian making commercials for J.C. Penney. They can't get it through their head that the majority of Americans is against that dirty sin. But we are. We proved it with Chick-fil-A and some other places. They don't like that, but bless God, it's still true. And that's too bad when you see an organization begun by Christians taken over and given in to the political correctness and foolishness of our day to day. I'm hurrying through this because he has so many of them here. I look in verse 11. Look with me in verse 11 of Jude. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. You got three examples found in verse 11 of these historical examples. We can take them, for instance, the way of Cain. What was Cain's way? Genesis chapter 4. You remember the story? You remember how Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God? You remember God had instructed, and Abel brought of the blood, he brought of the lamb. And you remember how that Cain brought of his own efforts. He wanted to change God's way to his way. You see, what you got right here is you got religion. Religion is the best way to go to hell I know of. Religion is man trying to work his way up to God. Man trying to perform ceremonies to reach and please God. Listen, Christianity is God coming down to fallen man, taking his place on the cross of Calvary, dying for his sins, and making a way that all man can do is accept it. But we see religion rejecting it. Rejecting it. I mean, religion wants to do it their way, Cain's way. And you can see it all the way through. The Jews had a problem with this. Turn over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. Turn over there with me. When Christ came and basically was rejected and crucified, and Paul is called and saved and writing about it and reaching out to them. He starts off in chapter 10 of Romans, how that his heart and desire is for Israel that they might be saved. And then he describes why they're not saved, what the problem is. He says they have a zeal of God, but not knowledge. And then in verse 3, here it is. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. There's religion right there. Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Listen, you will never be saved on your own righteousness. You cannot be righteous enough. You have got to accept the righteousness God provided for you, and that is Jesus Christ. But it's amazing today how religion wants to build around Jesus. Or they'll use his name, but they don't use it right. They're trying to be their own salvation, pick up their own self by their own religious acts and ceremonies. You got people that come to buildings like this every week, and they think their salvation depends on going through this ceremony and that ceremony and doing this and doing that. Oh, no, my friend, there's only one righteousness, and that is what Jesus Christ provided for you, and you must trust him personally as your Savior and nothing else. And the Jews made this mistake, but religion makes it as a whole, everywhere you look. And you look around today and you see it. One way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain's way is the way of religion. That's not God's way. Ignorant of God's righteousness. You know, I see something today. I grew up ignorant of the gospel. I didn't get saved till I was 22. I was ignorant of the gospel, but I was not anti-gospel. I just didn't know the gospel. You know what I see today? I see the crowd that's anti-gospel. I grew up not hating church and not hating God. I knew there was a God. I just didn't know the gospel and didn't know Jesus, and nobody told me how to be saved. But I look around today and I see people, ignorance is not their problem. Hate God is what it's about. Rejecting That's what you'll see it on your TV. By the way, the main stations aren't going to cover it too much, I understand. I wonder if they're going to do the Democratic convention the same way. But anyway, what we look at today is we see, hey, you know what? If you read Genesis chapter 4, you know what? When Abel's offering was accepted, Cain was wroth. He was mad. He hated Abel's way. He wanted to do it his way. That's what we're seeing today. We're seeing an anti-Godism, anti-Jesus, anti-grace way that I've never seen before. And I've been pastoring a good long time. The way of Cain in verse 11. Pick it up with me again, the hireling prophet, verse 11, Balaam. Boy, we in the day of hireling prophets. I'm telling you what, you see it all over TV, you read it in the news. I get sick and tired of hearing one guy in America being called America's pastor. America needs a pastor, but it needs one in this local church, it needs one in that local church, it needs one in that local church, and it needs a local group down there. Don't give me this baloney, he's my pastor. No, he's not. If he is, I'll call him at 1 a.m. in the morning, ask him to loan me some money. I'm playing around now. It's a bunch of junk that's going on. Bunch of junk. This America's pastor had the inauguration prayer at President Obama's inauguration, and instead of praying in the name of Jesus, he prayed in the name of ISIS. ISIS is the Arab name for Jesus. You see, his plan is to take false religion, Islam and others, and bring in Christianity, and let's just all get together and have a smoochy good time around a warm, fuzzy feeling we're all one. Hell's going to be populated with a crowd that's all one in religion instead of truth. No, David Caton over here, I got a paper stuck in my Bible. David Caton is one of the leaders or head of the family, Florida Family Association. He's trying to raise some money to put up some billboards because he's discovered in the Hillsborough County School Board in Tampa, Florida, that they are going to be allowing this care, this Islam group, to come in and teach about Sharia law in the schoolrooms. And he's trying to put up signboards to warn people what the school board's about to do. Now hear me. You think you could get in the public school and teach them the Ten Commandments? The Bible? No, you can't. No, you can't. How come they can do it? And then you got liberal preachers saying, well, we've got to inform people so we can all get along. Hey, the Muslims got a plan for us all to get along. Just give them your head, that's all. Either convert or get your head chopped off. That's their plan. That plan will work, they think. They've been working it for years. The truth is, we Americans are such fools, we're letting it grow in our classrooms. What a time. Hireling prophets, liberal preachers, they're going to get some gain out of it. They're going to get some popularity out of it. They might get to speak at the convention or something. Amen. Mixing false religion with truth, trying to. Then I look real quick down because time's up again in verse 11. You got a fellow by the name of Kor in the Old Testament. And verse 11, it says the gainsaying of Kor, the gainsaying. You know what his gainsaying was? It was speaking against the man of God. It was speaking against Moses. He had a better way than Moses. He said, Moses takes too much on himself. And you know what happened to Kor? How many of you know what happened to Kor? The ground opened up and swallowed him, didn't it? I want to tell you what, God didn't leave any doubt about who was right or wrong. Amen. And the new method of worship today, Moses, we can't go along with this old stuff anymore. I read in the paper where my faith is a tired old faith. That's what the liberals say about it. Let me change it. It's a tried old faith. And it'll stand the testing fires of God when it's tried. Amen. But we got this new idea. It's pretty popular. Folks will go to church and say, and some of you listen to me because I'm calling your number right now. You want to go and you want to hear how I can be saved and go to heaven, but it don't cause me to change my lifestyle at all. What you want to hear is, I can still drink my booze, I can still commit my adultery, I can still take the name of God in vain. I want to tell you, you get saved, you'll become a new creature in Christ, and these old things will pass away. What we see today is somebody just collecting Jesus and putting him on that cart of sin. They've already been driving down life's pathway. He won't ride with you, brother. He won't go with you. He won't that cart emptied out and cleaned up if he's going to have anything to do with it. We look around today and see the new method of worship. I can just do anything. In fact, I agree. You can probably get a bigger crowd if you just tell that bunch out there, just bring your instruments on to church. You've been jamming? Come on and jam for Jesus. We jam for Jesus down there. I'll tell you what, Jesus is not in that band. He's not going to be part of that band. And to try to make him compromise and paint him as though he were condoning that is ridiculous. No, sir. No, sir. But the new method of worship is what I see right here with Korah. Moses, the old way, we reject it. We stand against you. And God said, okay, just open up the ground and swallow them up. I'll be honest with you. There's some places I wouldn't go that claim to be worshiping the Lord. I'd be afraid the ground would open up and I might be too close to it. Amen. I want to say this, and this seventh historical example I'll point out, the final one, is of course found in verse 14. And it says, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam. God uses numbers. Seventh, God's number of completion. Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What are you saying? Enoch, why is he coming? Look at it in verse 15. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Hey, you can just take our society today and put it in verse 15 and it covers it all. It fits, it describes what we're dealing with today. Enoch's testimony though, the evil day, he was taken up. So how do you know it was an evil day? Because when Methuselah died, the judgment came. God's judgment came. You know what's holding back God's judgment now? Bunch of us Enochs getting translated out of here. God's restraining judgment is held back right now by his people. The salt and the light of this world, we are ambassadors for Christ. What I'm doing right now is trying to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and his word to a world that needs it. But when the rapture takes place, I'm out of here. And you will be if you're saved. Hear me good. Yeah. Some folks are going to say, well, bless God, we got through got rid of those folks that was needling us. Oh, yes, but you've got a little storm coming. Yeah, you might not know it, but you're in the calm before the storm right now. And right now is the time you can hear about Jesus Christ and receive him and be saved, be born again, have your name written in heaven. That's what you can have right now before the storm gets here. You can put up your shutters. You can get your flashlight batteries. You can get everything ready right now, but when the storm hits, it may be too late. I'm saying to you, better get your house in order now. We're in the calm part. The storm is coming. God's judgment's coming. And what Enoch saw and what he predicted here, what Jude predicted and wound up with Enoch's historical testimony of being raptured out before the judgment came. I'm thankful that's there. I see all these other things fulfilled. I'm expecting to see what happened to Enoch fulfilled. And I believe it will be. And I believe it soon. I believe it soon. You know, can you imagine the shock? I mean, not only is the rapture our hope, it's our victory. Can you imagine the shock when that translation takes place among some people? Can you hear the mother say, I just laid the baby there. Just laid the baby right there. I hardly turned my back, and where's my baby? You think I'm joking? That's what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. Can you imagine the man getting home and saying, she better have my supper on the table tonight? She better not have been down there in that church wasting her time. But she's not there when he gets home. And supper's not on the table. And she's not there when the 11 o'clock news comes on. And she's not there the next morning when he begins to say, hey, a lot of folks have disappeared. There's going to be some shock. There's going to be some shock, folks. I guarantee you. I'm not recommending Hollywood movies, but I have watched on TV a time or two with the family. Thank God it's one you can still watch with the family. What was called A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. It's generally shown around Christmas time. Anybody remember? All right. Got to educate you. Remember when the angel Clarence showed up to show James Bailey his life was worthwhile? You remember that? You remember Clarence was a little unorthodox, and it's not scriptural the way some of them things went, but it's a good point. When Clarence got in trouble and the policeman and the other guy wrestled him to the ground, and he cried out for help, and all of a sudden, he wasn't there. Their hands were empty. He was gone. You remember that? Do you understand the world's going to have that experience? Oh, yeah. I mean, God's people are going to disappear. They're going to be translated. They're going to be gone. Oh, I know they'll have a lot of funny explanations for it. I understand that. But when people disappear, it's going to be very real. Or they'll recover and go back to their ways and their parting before long. But the storm's going to hit them. It's going to land on them. Antichrist and his crowd's going to show up. And here's the sad truth. A lot of folks that heard, right here in this church, on this radio station, they heard how to be saved. They heard about Jesus. They heard they could get prepared. They were warned. It's coming. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. I pity anybody caught in a storm, tornado, people killed, families hurt. That's terrible. But I want to tell you, God's storm is going to come worldwide. It's going to call God's people out. I wish I had time to tell you what I think I see on the horizon. You're seeing it in the news. Nuclear war is real close. Something big and bad's about to happen. Something big and bad's about to happen here in the book of Jude. About to happen, but it couldn't happen until Enoch got caught out. And the worst of this world's not going to happen until we are caught out like he was and meet the Lord in the air. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Oh, I'd love to see everybody saved I could see. If you're here today, I'd love to see you saved. I would tell you, I'm warning you this morning, you can be saved. You can come to Christ. You can trust what he did on the cross and dying for your sins. You can now. There'll be a time when you can't. Please don't let the calm before the storm lull you to sleep. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. How many of you can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know it only because Jesus alone is who I'm trusting. Can you raise that hand as a testimony? Aren't you glad you can raise that hand? Thank you. Thank you. Are you here today and you say, I don't know so much about that. You'll know so much about it after it happens. You'll remember a preacher I thought was a nut got up there and hollered about being saved and got up there and hollered about Jesus coming and believers being translated out. Yeah, you'll remember then. But right now, you can heed the warning. Right now, you can come to Christ. You can trust him. You can leave this building with a peace of God in your heart. An artist one time was challenged to paint a picture of peace. Good artist was paid big bucks to said, we won't tell you what to paint, just give us a picture of peace. When they saw the picture, they couldn't believe it. It was a big rock like Gibraltar out in the ocean. The waves were slamming against it. The skies were dark and stormy and lightning was flashing. Anything but a peaceful scene. And they said to him, you misunderstood. We want a picture of peace. He said, look close, look real close, And he pointed down, and there in a crevice, a deep crevice in the big rock, was a little bird, safe and secure in the cleft of the rock. That little bird had great peace in the midst of the storm. Do you have peace in the midst of a storm? Storm of life, storm of evil, all the storms we could name this morning. Do you have peace in the midst? Jesus is my peace. I'm in the cleft of the rock. Rock cleft for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm there, I'm secure, I'm okay. Can you say that this morning? I pray you can. Father, may you add your blessing to the invitation.